Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us. The message today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, a prayer for fellow believers. Want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. It's Canadian Thanksgiving Sunday today. The call to worship is taken from Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2, 31 to 32, and 43 from the Contemporary English Version. Shout praises to the Lord. He is good to us, and His love never fails. Everyone the Lord has rescued from trouble should praise Him. You should praise the Lord for His love and for the wonderful things He does for all of us. Honor the Lord when you and your leaders meet to worship. Be wise. Remember this and think about the kindness of the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21 from the New International Version says this: For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians follows his usual format in that to address his readers' practical struggles, he first reminds them of what God has done for them. This is often in the first half of his letter. And then in the second half of the letter, he helps them apply those truths about God to their current situations. Ephesians is unique in how Paul teaches us about what God has done for us. Rather than reading a sermon or a lecture, we are reading outbursts of praise to God and then prayers to God on behalf of his readers. Chapter 1, it begins with praise and then has a prayer, and now here we have another prayer. In doing this, we learn of God and glimpse what is possible in a relationship with Him as we listen to Paul's heart. Paul has been a little further down the relationship road with God. He knows what is coming as our faith, love, and trust grow in our Lord. Today is Thanksgiving Day, Sunday, in Canada. We have so much to be thankful for. The time of Thanksgiving after the harvest season naturally calls our attention to how God provides for our physical needs, in order that we may provide for our families, our communities, and our country. And for all this, we are truly thankful. In this letter to the churches in the region of Ephesus, Paul is drawing our attention to the loving activity of God, planned before creation to offer us salvation by grace through the substitution freely given by Jesus the Messiah. Incredibly, not only for those originally chosen, the Jews, but this is offered full rights to God's kingdom are also available to all non-Jews who respond, an astounding act of grace. This is what inspires Paul's prayer of Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, a prayer for unity of Jewish and Gentile Christians based on a growing appreciation of God's love, which made the two one. Paul prays that we would experience the power of God, the presence of Christ, and the perception of his love, for which we have reason to be eternally thankful. Let's look here. First of all, thankful for the power of God. Verse 16, Paul writes, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. First of all, Paul prays that God would strengthen his readers with the glorious riches of his power. As we think about all that Paul has told us so far in Ephesians, about God's great pre-creation plan, we may feel overwhelmed by his greatness and as a consequence, hesitant to approach him. A young boy was feeling something like this after hearing that his father had just been made a brigadier general. So he asked his mother, do you think he will mind if I still call him daddy? This prayer of Paul's not only reminds us of the bounty of resources that Almighty God has available for us, but it also invites us to draw near, to experience these resources through a personal relationship with God as our Father. It's good to remember that we can have that. We can approach God the Father through his Son in a personal relationship. On our own, the thought of true unity between such diverse groups as Gentiles and Jews is an impossible dream. But we are not on our own. That's what Paul's reminding his readers of. Just as Paul claimed God's power as the source of his ability to be an apostle to the Gentiles, this is in Ephesians 3, 7 to 9, he now asks God to supply his readers with the strength they will need deep down inside to be the unified family that God has made them to be. God has made this possible, but they need God's strength to together live this out. They can't do it on their own. The power to do this doesn't come from within us, but from God, whose resources are unlimited. During the construction of one of the East River bridges over New York, the engineers were baffled by an old sunken barge. It lay on the river bottom, but it was embedded in the river bottom. They brought powerful engines and steel cables and derricks and rafts to move this out of the way of their construction. But these things were powerless to remove the obstruction. A young man just out of technical school received permission to try his hand at this. And at low tide, he had a large barge towed out to the spot. The ends of it were fastened on the sunken vessel. And as a tide came in from the Atlantic, the barge rose, bringing with it the submerged wreck. The young engineer had linked to his task the limitless power of the ocean tides. And so this is for us to remember, we have the infinite power of God available to help us. This is what Paul wants his readers to get to understand. Do you understand the power available to you from God to love those you once scorned? It's available. It's real, life-changing, and available to you through a relationship with Jesus Christ as your sin forgiver and life leader, as you depend upon him and not yourself to live the way he asked you to. He wants you to. He will help you to. Thank God for his power available to all disciples of Jesus. Now be humble to ask, and then bold to act. You have to be humble enough to ask for his power. Say, Lord, I can't do this. Ask for it. And then bold enough to say, Lord, you've enabled me to, so I will. So first of all, reasons to be thankful. We're thankful for the power of God. Secondly, in Paul's prayer, we see another reason to be thankful. In the first half of verse 17, he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We are thankful for the presence of Christ. We are thankful for the presence of Christ. In verse 16, Paul prays that God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, working deep within them, in their inner being. And then he continues that thought, praying for the Messiah to dwell in their hearts through faith, to dwell in our hearts as believers through faith. In our hearts, in our inner being, this is where the true battle with sin and self is fought. And this is where we need Christ's presence. Thankful for Christ's presence in our hearts. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, we're told that while people look at someone's outward appearance, how tall they are, how handsome they are, how good they can do this or that, God looks at the inward. God looks at the heart and can see one's true self. Paul is not now praying that we would know about Christ, but that through our growing faith in him, we may experience the reality of his presence ruling at the core of our being, that Christ would dwell and live in our hearts through faith. The word translated here that Paul used for dwell means to settle down, and carries the idea of a long-term resident. Paul's not talking about Christ being in your heart just on Sundays, just living there for a short time. We're saying, Lord, I want you to take up residence in my heart, and I am going to surrender and learn and walk with you. This is what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 2:20, where he writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Because Jesus loved us, he acted, he gave himself. And Paul says, then I am living as one that's been crucified. And I'm not the boss anymore. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I'm living by faith in him. Paul is praying that they would experience the presence of Christ. We are thankful that we can have, that we do have, a believer, we do have the presence of Christ within us. And thirdly, verses 17b and 19, we're thankful for the love of Christ. This verse says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3, 17, A and B, to 19. Paul's prayer is not for us to love Christ more. Instead, he wants us, as disciples of Jesus, to consider the vastness of his love for us, which is so great it's beyond comprehension. He's praying that we'll have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. William Barclay says, it is as if Paul invited us to look at the universe, to the limitless sky above, to the limitless horizons on every side, to the depth of the earth and the seas beneath us, and said, the love of Christ is as vast as that. Paul wants the love of Christ to take our breath away. As we try to understand how immeasurable it is. And he wants then for this to lead us gratefully into the loving arms of God to experience his loving presence. This is not a matter of knowing in an intellectual sense. It's impossible for human beings to know the love of God in its fullness. But it's to get a grasp of how great it is and then to experience it in a relationship. That's the only really way to know it from a human perspective in this way, is just to throw ourselves into God's arms, to embrace him, to experience his love in action. Know that you are secure in God's love, rooted and firmly established on Christ's love. This love was expressed before the foundation of the world. We see in chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. And the love which brought us to life in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, 4 and 5. Even though we were separated from him by sin. The Cornerstone Biblical Commentary says this: to fully comprehend the sacrificial love of Christ is beyond the capability of any human being. His continued love for believers is equally incomprehensible. In fact, no matter how much knowledge believers have about Christ, his amazing love surpasses that knowledge. And the more we know of that love, the more we should praise him for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And many years ago in England, a William Dixon, he was a widower, and he lost his only son. One day he was going by and he saw that the house of one of his neighbors was on fire. Although the aged owner was rescued, her orphaned grandson was still trapped inside the blaze. And Dixon climbed an iron pipe on the side of the house and lowered the boy to safety. In doing so, his hand that held onto the pipe was badly burned. Shortly after the fire, the grandmother died, and the townspeople gathered and they wondered who would care for the boy. Two volunteers appeared before the town council. One was a father who had lost his son and would like to adopt the orphan as his own. William Dixon was next to speak, but instead of saying anything, he merely held up his scarred hand. When the vote was taken, the boy was given to him. When we're thinking about the love of God here expressed to us, the Lord Jesus holds up his two hands. We see his nail-scarred wrists. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." As we accept Jesus Christ as our sin forgiver and life leader, we have so much to be thankful for. The love of God, which is greater than our sin. The presence of Christ within, guiding, changing, and helping us to share and live out his life to others. And the power of God, which as we trust and obey him, enables us to do what he calls us to do. Thank you, Lord. Now let me close with the benediction from this passage, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us this day. May you be encouraged this Thanksgiving to thank God for what he has done for you. And if you haven't asked him, to ask him in the name of Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and that you will follow him as your life leader and acknowledge Jesus as your sin forgiver. And then you too may be eternally thankful for what the Lord has done. Amen.